Shmuel Bet Perek Kav Dalet. The last Perek ended with a list of David's warriors, Uriah Hiti being the final one listed. This final Perek in Sefer Shmuel recalls a sin of David and its tikkun, its fixing. Perek Kav Dalet has 8 sections, the first one, Pesukim Aleph through Bet. David requests a count of the nation. Vayosef af Adonai lecharot beYisrael, vayaset et David bahim lemor, lech meneh et Yisrael vet Yehuda. And the anger of God continued against Israel. We're not told why God is angry at Israel, but this perek is a continuation of his anger. And he incited David against them, saying, go count Israel and Yehuda. This pasuk tells us that God's anger caused David to count the nation. Vayomer ha-melech el Yoav, sar ha-chayil asher ito, shut na bechol shiftei Yisrael, midan ve'ad ben sheva, ufiktu et ha'am, vayadati et asher et mispar ha'am. And the king said to Yoav, the army general that was with him, notice that Yoav's called the army general over here, he tells him, travel throughout all the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, to count the nation, so I will know the amount of the nation. The word, so I will know, implies that there's no compelling reason for the census. Rather, it was for his own personal reasons. When a person is proud of their possessions, they count them, indicating a sense of ownership. The natural development of David's pride in his nation may have been his thinking, the initial reason for this census, and God allowed it to happen. For a king, this can lead to a false sense of power. During times of peace, or even during times of war, a king who relies on the number of his soldiers rather than trusting in God is contrary to David's whole ideology and the concept that he promoted throughout the Sefer. V'yede'u kol ha'kahal hazeh ki lo becherev uvechanit yoshi Adonai. Ki ladonai hamilchama. The Torah gives us a balance. There are times to count the nation. Parashat Ki Tisa in Shemot Perek Lamed begins with the halachic guidelines on how to count Bnei Israel when needed. There is a mitzvah for each person to give a half a shekel as an offering to God to prevent a plague. The next section, Pesukim Gimel, through the middle of Pesuk Yud, a census is taken. ויאמר יואב אל המלך, ויוסף אדוני אלוהיך אל העם, כהם וכהם, מאלה הפעמים. ועיני אדוני המלך ראות, ואדוני המלך, למה חפץ בדבר הזה? And Yoav said to the king, God, your God, should add to the nation and multiply them 100 times, and may the eyes of my master the king see it. He speaks of a blessing of the growth of the nation, which David should he witness, meaning he should see it in his lifetime. This is the opposite of what happens in a plague, the Torah's consequence for counting the people without the right intent. And Yoav finishes in the end of the pasuk, he says, but why does my master the king desire such a thing? Yoav, David's army general, tries to dissuade him from conducting a census. As army general, he knows that there's no need for a count at this time. It's not a time of war and it's not necessary. ויחזק דבר המלך אל יואב ועל שרי החיל, ויצא יואב ושרי החיל לפני המלך לפקוד את העם את ישראל. And the king's words were strong to Yoav and against the army captains. And Yoav and the army captains left the presence of the king to count the nation of Israel. Here Yoav backed down, which he usually doesn't. We know Yoav's strength and how he will stand up to David, but here he yielded to David's request. ויעברו את הירדן ויחנו בערוער, ימין העיר אשר בתוך הנחל הגד, ואל יעזר. And they passed over the Yarden and encamped in Aroer, on the right side of the city that's in the middle of the Wadi of Gad. This is describing Nachal Arnon, the southern boundary of Reuven. And then to Yazer, further up north. They began the census on the eastern side of the Yarden. ויבוא הגלעד אבל ארץ תחתים חודשי, ויבוא דן היען, וסביב את אל סידון. And they came to Gilad and to the land of Tachtim Chodshi, even further up north, and they came to Dan Ya'an and turned towards Sidon. After traveling up north, they went and turned westward. ויבואו מבשר סור וכל ערי החיבי והכעני, ויצאו אל נגב יהודה באר שבע. And they came to the stronghold of Sur on the northwestern coast, and to all the cities of the Chivi and the Kana'ani, and went out to the south of Yehuda at Be'er Sheva. They encircled the land, beginning on the eastern side of the Yarden, moving up north, crossing back over the Yarden, moving westward, and then down along the coast southward till Be'er Sheva, where given the outer periphery of the entire land which they traveled. Vayashutu b'chol ha'aretz vayavo mikse tisha chodashim ve'esrim yom Yerushalayim. And they traveled throughout the entire land. At the end of 9 months and 20 days, they came to Yerushalayim. Vayitenu avet mispar mifkat ha'am el ha'melech, v'tihi Yisrael shemona me'ot elef ish chaya sholef cherev, ve'ish Yehuda chamesh me'ot elef ish. And Yoav gave the sum of the census to the people, to the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew sword, and the men of Yehuda were 500,000 men. Yoav counted the men of military age, ish chayil sholef charev. Vayach lev David oto acharechem safad et ha'am. And David's heart struck him, after which he had counted the people. David regretted taking the census. We're not told of any war at this point. David did not need to know the amount of soldiers available to him. And then we have a parashah Setumah in the middle of a pasuk. Possibly David feeling the shock when he realized of what he had done. The words "Vayach lev David oto acharechen" remind us of another time David felt regret over his actions. "Vayehi acharechen vayach lev David oto al asher karat et kanaf asher leshaul." When he cut off the corner of Shaul's rope, he immediately regretted the action. That was in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Kaf Dalet, Pasuk Hei. At that point, it was not time for him to take over the kingship. The next section, from the middle of Pasuk Yud to the middle of Pasuk Yud Aleph, David expresses his regret. Vayomer David el Adonai, Chatati me'od asher asiti, ve'ata Adonai, he'aver na et avon avdecha, ki niskalti me'od. And David said to God, I have greatly sinned, chatati, in what I have done. But now, God, please put away the sin of your servant, for I have acted foolishly, niskalti. David's words here, chatati me'od asher asiti, bring us to mind David's sincere confession following Natan's parable. In Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Yud Gimel, chatati l'Adonai. Then Natan made David aware of his sin. Here, David realized on his own. David, when recognizing his sin and counting the people, admitted chatati and also niskalti, two words representing Shaul's two sins for which he lost the kingship. This highlights for us why David did not lose the monarchy. When Shaul didn't wait for Shmuel and brought the korban before its time because the police team were approaching, Shmuel told Shaul, niskalta, you acted foolishly, and for that you have lost the kingship. Shaul had to be told he didn't act properly, niskalta, as opposed to David, who acknowledged his foolishness on his own. Shaul's second sin, for which he lost the kingship, was for not destroying Amalek and allowing the nation to take from the spoils of war. That was in Shmuel Aleph Perek Tetvav. When Shaul finally admitted his sin, he said, chatati. And when Shmuel recognized that Shaul really didn't understand his role as king, he turned to leave, and Shaul tore his coat. Shmuel then told Shaul, the kingdom has been torn from you today. In response to being told that he lost the kingship, Shaul restated, chatati, and he asked Shmuel to carry his sin, ve'ata sana et chatati, and honor me in front of the people. This contrasts David's sincere regret and his desire for God to put away his sin in our pasuk. Shaul needed the prodding of the Navi to admit his sins, both against the police team and Amalek. This contrasts David here, who recognizes sin on his own and does not try to justify his actions. Rather, he admits using the same words, chatati me'od, niskalti me'od. I have sinned greatly. I have acted extremely foolishly. In the last perek of Sefer Shmuel, we're once again reminded why David's dynasty endured. Specifically, because of his response to sin, the feeling of regret when he recognized his sin and his desire to fix it. Vayakom David bavoker. And David got up in the morning, and then we have a parashah Setumah in the middle of the pasuk. In the last pasuk, David sincerely expressed his regret. This pause, once again, possibly signifying David waiting for a response from God, again reminds us of the difference between David, who waited patiently for the response of God, and Shaul, who didn't. While David is waiting, we are told God's response will be through God Hanavi. The next section is from the middle of Pasuk Yud Aleph to Pasuk Yud Gimel, and we see the punishment. Udvar Adonai haya el Gad hanavi Chozeh David lemor. And the word of God came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Haloch v'dibarta el David, ko amar Adonai, shalosh anachi notel alecha, bechar lecha echat mehem, ve'eseh lach. Go and speak to David, this is what God said. Three things I shall place before you. God is giving David three options. Choose for yourself one of them and I will do it to you. It's interesting to note that God is not sending Gad to reprimand David as he did when he sent Natan HaNavi after the sin with Bathsheba. Here David needed a parable to come to the realization Chatati. Here David already recognized his sin and he expressed the regret over what he did. Gad HaNavi is being sent to David with three possible punishments. This is the only time that an individual in Tanakh is given a choice of his punishment. Vayavok Adel David vayaged lo, vayomer lo, hatavo lecha sheva shanim ra'av be'artzecha, ve'im shelosha chodashim nesuch lefanecha sarecha behudo defecha, ve'im heyot sheloshet yamim dever Dever be'artzecha. Ata da'ore ma'ashiv sholechi davar. So God came to David and told him, and he said to him, shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land? Or 3 months will you run from your enemies while they pursue you? Or will there be 3 days of pestilence, Dever, in the land, the plague of Dever? Now consider and see, what shall I answer the one that sent me? All three punishments have an element of time. There's a period of time that needs to pass to fix the wrong that was done. 7 years, 3 months, or 3 days. Two of the punishments are connected to the land, famine in your land, or dever, pestilence in your land. Two of them are punishments that David already experienced, and they're directly, specifically to him. Famine will come to you in your land, or you will run from your enemies while they pursue you. All these punishments, the people are also punished. Famine, war, and pestilence all affect the nation as well. In Pasuk Aleph, we were told that God was angry at Israel, and he incited David to sin. In the next section, Pesukim Yud Dalet through Tet Zayin, we see the punishment is inflicted on the nation. Vayomer David el Gad, Sar li me'od, nipela na beyad Adonai, ki rabim rachamav, ubiyad Adam al epola. And David said to God, I am in a tight position. Let us fall by the hand of God, for his mercy is great. And by the hand of man, let me not fall. Notice David's language, his usage of first person singular. Beyad Adam al epola. Let me not fall by the hand of man. David is asking not to be punished individually, rather asking to be punished as part of the nation. Nipela na beyad Adonai. Let us fall in the hand of God. David requests for a national experience of a direct encounter with God. Although all three punishments stem from God, man's involvement is more pronounced in one. When being chased by an enemy, the enemy is perceived as controlling the events. Famine, although more evidently stemming from the hand of God, places the people at the mercy of others, relying on man for food. Dever, or pestilence, is recognized from beginning to end as originating and ending from God. David experienced running from his enemies, Shaul and Nevshalom. He experienced a 3-year famine due to the sin of Shaul. To these he said, let me not fall. Now the nation will experience Dever, pestilence in the land. Dever was the only punishment which was not directly at David. Ten Adonai Dever b'Yisrael b'haboker v'ad et moed v'yamot min ha'am midan v'ad b'sheva 70,000 ish. So God sent Dever in Yisrael from the morning until the appointed time, 3 days. And they died from the nation from Dan to Beersheva, 70,000 men. A massive amount of people in the land died in just 3 days. Although we're not given the details of the nation's sin in Pasuk Aleph, we can tell by the extent of this plague of destruction that it was something very serious. Vayishlach yado hamalach Yerushalayim leshachata. Vayinachem Adonai el hara'a. Vayomer lamalach hamashchit ba'am. Rav, ata heref yadecha. Umalach Adonai haya im goren ha'aravna hayevusi. And the angel stretched out his hand towards Yerushalayim to destroy it. Yerushalayim, David's city, was about to be hit. And God relented of the evil. And he said to the angel that destroyed the people, "It is enough. Now stop your hand." And the angel of God was by the threshing floor of Aravna Hayevusi. This pasuk tells us the location of where the plague was stopped by God. Aravna was a Yevusi, part of the nation who lived in Yerushalayim, which was called Yevus. God stopped the plague at his threshing floor. This previous pasuk, we were told the general information of where God stopped the plague, the klal. In the next section, one pasuk long, we're given the details of why God stopped the plague at that point. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayomer David el Adonai b'ro'oto el et ha-malach ha-makeh ba'am. Vayomer hine anochi chatati v'anochi he'eveti. Ve'ele ha-tzon me'asu tehina yadecha bi uvevet avi. And David spoke to God when he saw the angel just struck the people. When the plague reached Yerushalayim, David directly saw its devastation. He said, "Here, I have sinned, chatati," referring to an unintentional violation, a chet. "And I have sinned, he'eveti," from the word avon, indicating an intentional violation. "But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand be against me and against my father's house." David recognized his two mistakes of counting the people and of not accepting responsibility for the nation's sins. As king, he's held accountable for the nation's actions. A king has no sense of self. Rather, he's a representation of the nation to God. Now we see David's readiness to sacrifice himself and his family's dynasty to help the nation. There's no response of God concerning a punishment for David. Rather, in the next section, Pesukim Yudchet, till the middle of Pasuk Kaf Gimel, we have the next level of David's aliyah. Vayavo Gad el David bayom ha'hulem vayomer lo ale hakem ladonai mizbeach begoran aravna ha'yevusi. And God came to David on that day and he said to him, "Go up, ale, and build an altar to God on the threshing floor of Aravna ha'yevusi." A mizbeach is a means of atonement. Natan is telling David to build an altar in this specific spot. David's complete submission to God at this point was the catalyst which brought about the means for kapara. David is going to make atonement through the mizbeach. Vayal David k'dvar Gad ka'asher siva Adonai. And David went up, vayal, according to the word of God, as God commanded. Vayashkef aravna vayaret melech ve'et avadav overim alav vayetze aravna vayishtachu lamelech apayim arza. And Aravna looked down and he saw the king and his servants coming up to him. And Aravna went out and he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. Vayomer Aravna, "Madu ba Adoni ha-melech el avdo?" Vayomer David, "Leknot mimecha et goren levnot mizbeach l'Adonai, ve'te'atzar ha-magefa me'al ha'am." And Aravna said, "Why did your master the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to God, so the plague will stop from the nation." From this pasuk, it seems like the plague is still advancing. Vayomer Aravna el David, "Yikach vayal Adoni ha-melech ha-tov be'enav. Re'eh ha-bakar le'ola ve'hamorigim ve'chle ha-bakar la'etzim." And Aravna said to David, "Take and offer up, vayal, my master the king, what is good in your eyes? See the oxen for the burnt offering, la'ola, and the threshing instruments, and the oxen's tools are for the wood." Hakul natan Aravna ha-melech la-melech. All this Aravna, the king, gave to the king. Aravna saw the king and his men come to him, and he wanted to help in any way he could. He told David, "Take it all." And he gave David all he had available, the land, the animals, the threshing tools, and the wood. Everything he would need to immediately build a mizbeach and to sacrifice to God. And we have a parashas duma in the middle of the pasuk. We don't have any response of David, and Aravna speaks again. And from the middle of Pasuk Kaf Gimel to the end of the Sefer, David buys the land, builds an altar, and brings about atonement for the land. Vayomer Aravna el HaMelech, Adonai Elohecha Yirtzecha. And Aravna said to the king, "God your God will accept you." He's blessing him that his korban will be accepted by God. Vayomer HaMelech el Aravna, Lo ki kano ekne me'otecha b'mchir ve'lo a'ale l'Adonai Elohai olot chinam. Vayiken David et ha'goren ve'et ha'bakar be'kesef shekalim chamishim. And the king said to Aravna, No, rather I will buy it for you for a price. And I will not offer burnt offerings to God, my God, chinam, for free. David would not accept it as a gift from Aravna. He insisted on paying. And David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David bought the threshing field from Aravna. From here we understand that for some reason, when David conquered Yerushalayim, or Yevus, this specific land was not conquered. This land was not acquired in the framework of war. Rather, it was purchased at its full price. Vayiven sham David mizbeach l'Adonai, vayal olot ushlamim, vayatzer Adonai la'aretz, vatatzar hamagefa me'al Yisrael. And David built there a mizbeach to God and burnt a burnt offering, olot, and peace offerings, shelamim. And God accepted the prayer for the land, and the plague was stopped from Yisrael. The Sefer ends with the same words we had in the first of our six appendices of Sefer Shmuel, Vayeater Adonai la'aretz. Two instances where God heard the prayer for the land, and in response to David's actions, he stopped the plague. In the outer frames of our appendices to Sefer Shmuel, our first two kings sinned, and as a consequence, the nation was afflicted. Both had an aspect of the sin that was revealed and part of it that was hidden. In the first, in Perek Kaf Aleph, we were not told how and when Shaul killed the Givonim. And in this parallel section, we are not told how and when Yisrael sinned. In both, the nation was punished with a famine because of Shaul and with a plague because of David. In both, David asked God, and he was answered. We learn from David, it's not enough to admit one's sins, even if done with as much sincerity as he did. In both, David reflects upon the sin, accepts its consequence to the point of being willing to nullify his monarchy, and he takes action. In the first, David gave Shaul and his descendants a proper burial in the house of Kish, in the territory of Benjamin. And in the second, he built an altar and sacrificed the appropriate korbanot to God. Only after David fixed the issue did God accept the prayer for the land. When David did teshuvah through burial and sacrifice, the land went through a process of atonement and fixing. Divrei HaYamim Bet Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph emphasizes the fact that the land that David purchased from Aravna HaYevusi was Har HaMoriah. Here in Sefer Shmuel, there's no mention of it being this future site of the Beit HaMikdash. It's viewed as an agricultural piece of land, the threshing floor of Aravna HaYevusi. David was told in Perek Zayin, it's not time to build a house for God. Rather, his son would build it. A strong dynasty of two generations, a Bayit Ne'eman, is the precondition for the building of God's house. Now is not the time, and the Beit HaMikdash is not mentioned in our Sefer, but we do find David making the preparations. The Mizbeach's function in the Beit HaMikdash is intended to atone for sin and bring about its repair. David's purchasing this land, building this altar, and sacrificing Korbanot to God as a means for atonement for the nation are the beginnings of the Beit HaMikdash on this future location of Har HaBayit. As an interesting side point, this purchase is the third of three plots of land purchased in Tanakh. We have Ma'arat HaMachpelah, which Abraham bought from Ephron HaChiti to bury Sarah for 400 shekel kesef. And then we have a plot of land in Shechem, which Yaakov bought from Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 kesita, where Yosef was later buried. And here David purchased Har HaBayit from Aravna HaYevusi for 50 shekel kesef. In Divrei HaYamim, we're told that it was 600 silver coins, possibly 50 from each tribe, and that's a beautiful representation of the entire nation in the purchase of the site of the Beit HaMikdash. Sefer Shmuel began with the birth and development of Shmuel. Only after Shmuel was firmly established and the word of God, Devar Hashem, was revealed through him, did we experience the destruction of Shiloh, and the wanderings of the Aron began. The development to this point of the revelation of the site of the Beit HaMikdash and the Aron's final resting place came through David. We went from the destruction of the Mishkan to the building of the Beit HaMikdash. This process began with Shmuel and moved on through Shaul and then David. We saw each one in their greatness, and we also witnessed their weaknesses. Our first kings both made mistakes, yet David merited to see what Shaul didn't, a Brit Olam. David understood his main job in the world was to strengthen the nation's faith in God and spread his name, spread God's name within the world. Ve'yede'u kol ha'aretz ki yesh Elohim li'Yisrael. That he declared in wartime, in the battle against Goliath. David honored God in times of battle, which is reflected by these list of warriors and their actions in the second and fifth units of our closing sections, which was one layer inward from the outer frame, which described the sins and the subsequent restoration of our kings. In the center, we had the focus of David. As a reminder that every action performed should represent God, Shirat David, and the last words of David are mentioned in the middle. In times of hardship, David would pray to God for help. His inner knowledge that there is Hashgacha, there is divine providence in the world, and that the righteous would be rewarded accordingly, enabled David to patiently await his personal salvation, while at the same time actively doing his part in God's world. This is the concept he imparted to the nation. And after experiencing the salvation, David gave recognition to his Savior, and he sang of God's greatness. He closes Shirat David expressing that he will thank God among the nations, and to God's name he will sing. That was in Perek Kaf Bet Pasuk Nun. This is our King, David Melech Yisrael. His greatness is in his balance, in being a military and spiritual individual. He strengthens the nation as he pronounces God's greatness to the world, as a loyal king serving his king. Mistakes are part of life, and the impact of sin in the world exists. There are consequences for man's actions. Acknowledging them, sincerely feeling regret, and fixing them brings greatness. David reached great heights through his teshuvah, greatness which was unattainable beforehand. In his greatness, David became our paradigm for teshuvah. The Beit HaMikdash, the place of teshuvah for all of mankind, would be built by his son Shlomo. That will take place in the next Sefer, Sefer Melachim.